afternoon. It's Mike Vandervoort, and it's Friday, March 20th, and this is Drive Through HR. We're getting ready to roll into the end of another week and the start of what hopefully will be an awesome weekend for everybody. This week, our show, we ran another theme week, and it was a little confusing, but it was HR Gets Lucky, and different sets of stories from different people about different topics. And we have a cool guest to wrap up the week, friend and one of my kind of cohorts from Florida, John Nicolasian. John, how you doing today?
Mike, I'm doing great. How are you?
I am awesome. I'm in the mountains in Georgia, and it's kind of a cloudy, nice day, but no rain, and it's warming up here. So I'm sure in Miami, I'm sure it's like 85 and perfect. So I'll hate you all day.
You can. It's 85, and I gotta have on a little sunblock. I'm actually standing outside, and it's a little warm. I'm not gonna lie to you.
Yeah, you've got to fan yourself. I know. You got you Miamians. It's rough. Anyway, so I understand you're doing this from like the corner phone booth, if that still exists, outside a restaurant somewhere. So right.
That's how much I love you guys.
We appreciate it. So anyway, John, tell everyone who listens to Drive Through as if they don't already know. But tell them who John Nicolasian is and what he does.
Sure. Well, my official title is Associate Director, Career Services in the College of Business. I've been a recruiter for so long in talent acquisition space, and what I do for the College of Business at FIU is recruit the companies to come recruit our students. So it's an interesting area, an interesting kind of overview. I sit at this crossroad of college recruiting and talent acquisition, so I see it from the corporate side and from the collegiate side. And, you know, I have a little bit of fun, I make fun of people, you know, the normal standard everyday stuff.
Just the usual stuff, yeah. And,
yeah.
And but really, you know, the get lucky thing, right? So I think what we were going to try to talk about a little bit before we jump into some of the standard questions for Drive Through, like the theme of this week was HR Gets Lucky. And like I said to you earlier but in the pre-show, one of the reasons we asked you on was to kind of maybe talk about, you know, the perspective of college students, and I guess you work specifically with grad students, right?
I work with graduates and undergraduates. So.
Okay, both. So Crystal Miller, one of our co-hosts, who is not hanging around with us today, unfortunately, suggested that you would be a great guest to kind of tell us some, you know, maybe not some, you know, salacious stories, but some real, you know, kind of real world professional stories about students.
Sure.
And kind of the things they face. So let's touch on that a little bit first, and then we'll jump into a couple other things real quick. All right.
Sure. You know, it's interesting now with the economy warming up in certain areas and cooling off in some others. Some of the trends that we're seeing at colleges and in my office, sales and marketing, which was on sales and marketing was probably one of the more popular areas over the last 5 years for people to hire into, and
mm-hmm.
it's now become a lot more popular. A lot more firms are coming to us, but it's not specific in like the banking industry. I'm seeing things more in professional services in furniture sales, believe it or not, or managers in grocery chains. There's a large international grocery chain that's doing a lot of recruiting, and their base salary for recent undergrads starts at 80 grand.
Holy moly.
And that's what they lead into. It's Aldi.
Yep,
I don't know if we should name
them
or not.
I would have guessed.
But that's what's on all of their employment branding, all of their student branding, employment branding. It all leads with that $80,000 salary, and you know, kids today see that and they want to do it. So they've been over the last 5 years increasing. Target's still been very good with us. So it's neat to see, and it's a neat space to be in, and I get a kick out of it. You know, I'm always pleasantly surprised. Every day.
So you do a bunch of different things, and you know, I've seen you at, you know, you run workshops, you do the booth at some of the Schirns. I mean, you do a lot of different things. Tell us how you work with a student, John.
Well, it's neat because my office and my team and my colleagues, we have it set up in two separate areas. We have students, we have a student-facing side, and then we have the employer-facing side. And my team, my colleagues are all from the industry, so they're not 100% career academics. They actually are former recruiters as well, and they spent time in as HR generalists, so they know, in the College of Business at least, they know what it takes to get hired, they know what the recruiting process looks like, they know what, you know, a good resume, bad resume. So we kind of are this, I don't want to say the shadow recruiting firm, but, you know, we understand what it takes to get hired or when you have something bad on your resume, and that's what we do. We counsel the students from that perspective, and then on the employer side, I'm walking them through how they drive their collegiate brand. I think that's one of the largest gaps that I see now is that there are very large businesses who've tapped into building a good collegiate brand and they understand it and it kind of leverages their employment brand. But there are other firms that have no idea how to leverage that employment brand and kind of make it a student brand. And so now I'm seeing this trend where everyone's talking about employment branding. Now I'm starting to see this trend where clients are saying, well, how do we appeal to the students? How do we appeal to this generation? What's the best way to do it? So I kind of sit in that sphere most of the time, but I also counsel the HR students because I'm a masochist. So I can't okay. keep doing enough work.
I'm not shocked. So you work more with the brands in your specific role, whereas other folks
yeah.
work with the students. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
So John, like when you go out to, you know, because we all do these conference things, and you and I were just talking.
Sure.
We're both going to do SHRM National as social media team again, which is something I've done, and I know you've done for Dowman HR Florida for a few years, and it's always a
yep.
blast. But you also always get all these marketing campaigns ahead of time. You know, meet us at this booth and do a
mm-hmm.
story. You know, as a blogger and all
mm-hmm.
that. But from FIU, you guys go out and run a booth. So what's it like to be on the floor at those places? What do you do?
You know, it's really interesting seeing it from that perspective. I did spend some time at the last SHRM National in Orlando in our booth. I spent quite a bit of time, and I had one of my colleagues in the office actually helping me out. It's interesting to see how HR pros are trying to increase their education. Sorry about that. Sorry about the dump truck.
Yeah. No worries.
It's interesting to see how the business of education is, I mean, well, we've seen it in the news with some of these not-for-profits and these for-profits and, you know, degree mills, et cetera, et cetera. The business of education is a very good business to be in. And then I see HR pros like, well, how do I make this choice? What do I do? Do I do it all online? Do I not do it all online? So there's a lot of competition in the space. One of the nice things, and not to plug FIU, but I will, we've got a great FIU online is one of the fastest growing segments of our university, and a good majority of our students will take at some point in their college career an online class. So as the fourth largest public university in the United States, the ability to serve 55,000 plus students in some online capacity, you can imagine that the technology is really cool and it gets very interesting.
So go back for just a minute. FIU, right? For the fourth
uh-huh.
largest in the United States.
Uh-huh.
I knew it was huge. It's bigger than most of the other universities in the state of Florida.
It's the biggest one. It's public.
Right.
Well, not the biggest. That's UCF. University of Central
yep.
Florida is the largest
right.
in the state of
Sorry,
Florida.
Sorry, we don't need to talk about them.
I gotta give credit where I gotta keep the numbers semi legit. But UCF is one of the largest, and FIU UCF I think is ahead of us with respect to public institutions that are serving students in the U.S.
I think most people don't assume that Florida has so many universities of that size.
I guess
it always strikes me as being. Yeah. Anyway, sorry, I interrupted your train of thought.
No. The funny thing is, and I when I explain this to my peers and my clients, you know, my college alone, just the College of Business, has 8,000 students. So I've got a student base, and I'm not counting alumni. That's undergrad and grad. It's a large university or a small college in some places. you know. So we've got a good mix. There isn't a day that goes by that I'm not bored, or that I'm sitting there shaking my head and laughing and going, "Oh boy, what do we get ourselves into now?"
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's fun. Welcome to Miami.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, okay. One more dumb question, and then I'll get into the real
sure.
show. In the booth, what's the best tchotchke that FIU has given away?
Actually, no. You know what the coolest tchotchke we've given away? It's this little pocket that you put on the back of your phone or you put on the back of your phone case that will
mm-hmm.
hold your credit card or your ID or your – people come up to us for that. They love that thing. Absolutely love it.
So I guess one more question. Is it really possible to have meaningful discussions at those booths, or is it just to build a
no.
– I mean, do you actually talk to people, or is it just to build a lead list at the end of it all?
I think it's to build the lead list. Even when I'm talking to clients and I talk to them on the floor about, hey, you should hire some FIU students, I, as a practice, always follow up afterwards because it's tire kicking. You know, it's like, oh, yeah, we'll do it, and, you know.
Got our free pens. It's the herd. I know. That's why I wonder. I go around and I don't do it much anymore because I don't need that stuff. But it, you know, every now and then you walk past those booths and you feel sorry for everybody. They're herded around and some are trying to sell and some are trying to just get their thing stamped or whatever the hell it is.
Yeah.
You know. And
yeah.
But it's part of the culture of our event universe, I guess. And it's kind of crazy, really.
If it's free, give me three.
Right. If it's free, give me free. Exactly. Okay, John. Let me get
sure.
into this script here. I guess we don't really follow one anyway. I don't. But so the standard question, the first one that we always throw out is what keeps you and I guess maybe your students or your employers you work with, what keeps them up at night?
What keeps us all up at night?
Or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. I had to censor myself on the get lucky part a while ago. I think what keeps us up at night is can the economy sustain this level of growth, and are we going to have enough people to fill these roles? Part of what keeps me up at night is are the clients that are coming to us recruiting the students for the right reasons or do they not know what's going on? And I'm seeing some firms coming to us as this, you know, oh, we're going to go to college and do this low-cost solution. In some cases, we don't have that expertise sitting here. It's sitting in the alumni ranks. And then how do I build a bridge so that they can tap into that alumni network? That keeps me up at night. And I think, you know, and I, going back to the firms, I think the firms are still trying to figure out, okay, we need to hire. We haven't been hiring for so long. How do we hire? And I think that's going to become more prevalent now and even in the fall when the major MBA career fairs start. So September and October, when the big push for MBA career fair starts this year for summer internships in 2016, I think we're going to still see some firms going, I don't know how to do this or what's happening here. So.
What do they, when you say that they don't know how to do it, what do they struggle with? Are they just not, I mean, they're just not, they don't have the infrastructure, they don't know how to interview that group, they don't know how to put them to work effectively? I mean,
I think it's a combination of all those things. I mean, most firms know how to hire and structure, but, you know, like I heard someone say, and I thought this was great, you know, you can't hire like it's 2010 anymore because there is a level of scarcity in the market. And I think the same goes with some of these college students that they're looking at. You can't go to a college and say, I want to hire entry-level students, and, oh, by the way, I want them to have a skill set of a 2 to 3 year analyst, or the equivalent of a 2 to 3 year analyst. Those things are not mutually exclusive, and they don't make sense. Either they have the experience or the skills, or they don't.
Mm-hmm.
Like in social media. Social media
mm-hmm.
is the horse that everybody is now beating because it's dead. But clients will or individuals will come, and they'll naturally assume that these millennials or this generation, whatever they're calling them now, I don't have my notes in front of me, but they'll naturally assume that, oh, they must understand SEO. They must automatically understand this because they were born with a Twitter account.
Right.
And, you know, I've had to say to clients, listen, what you're asking for is expertise that you pay for in the marketplace. And I would love for you to go to these agencies because they've got that expertise or they've got that skill set. And I had one organization that came to me and they're like, I want this, I want this, I want this, I want this. And then the salary was nowhere near what, well, I mean, it's and this is even bad for Miami, but the salary was nowhere near what we were going to pay in Miami for that. And I had a suggestion. I said, well, why don't you go recruit somebody? Because, you know, you want to help your client. I said, listen, why don't you, if you're going to go poach somebody, poach them from here or poach them from here. And the response was, oh, we did have a candidate from there. And I'm like, so what happened? And they were like, we couldn't close. The salary wasn't high enough. So, you know, at this point, you're like, oh, okay. All right, we're trying. So I think there's this, not to use a bad twist of words, but I think there's some education that has to take place in the marketplace with clients, too. So I think that trend is going to be coming soon, and I'm excited about that.
Cool. So, veering off just a little bit again, because I love to do that, or careen around
sure.
the roads of Miami or otherwise, drunk and, you know, that kind of thing. No. So Miami's like a, I mean, even in Florida, Miami, you know, I used to go down there quite a bit when I worked for Publix and hang out. And it's you live there. I mean, you're a native, I guess. And it's different than most of Florida, and it's different than most of the United States, in truth. And it's kind of an international hub for especially for South America. How do you guys have any play in that with at FIU? I mean, I know there's a lot of students that way, but do you guys do any work with clients out of South America, Central America, that kind of thing?
We do have a presence we do have clients that have positions and opportunities in Central and South America. You know, that's another funny little twist on things, too. When students come to the United States to study, a good majority of them want to stay here.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to go back to their home country. And so we have to do a bit of educating. It becomes a small challenge because we want to, you know, we want our clients to be successful and we want our students to be successful. And we want to match them with the right, you know, with these great opportunities. But, you know, I mean, we read it, we can read it, I read it in the paper almost every day. I don't think a lot of people who get out of Venezuela want to go back to Venezuela. Not to bring a political twist to the conversation, but, you know, the country is in hyperinflation and has issues. And so, you know, as a professional, as an HR professional, I have to be very aware of socioeconomic patterns in different parts of the world that have an impact on my students than, you know, say someone who's in the middle of Georgia or Wisconsin, or not to pick on Wisconsin because I have family there, but, or Chicago, you know, it's ironic. I mean, it's even in, you know, at dinner time, my father-in-law will say, hey, did you see what happened in Costa Rica? Or did you hear what happened with this election in Ecuador? You know, so it's almost like I have to stay on top of it because my father-in-law loves to talk politics with me, and Central American politics and Latin American politics have been a big conversation in the last 20 years that I've been hanging out with him. So,
let me do a reset. I always run over the reset. This is Drive Through HR. It's Mike Vandervoort, and I'm on today with John Nicolasian. John on Twitter is CigarSPHR, and I see a couple people are saying on Twitter we run into the same thing. People want. Tell us they want entry level, but they really don't. And that, you know, so that sounds like you're not the only one who faces that. And I think that's going back. I was thinking while you were talking about the Twitter stream. It's small, but it's mighty. You know, it's just three or four people. Yeah, but it's not bad. This is not the evening when people are, you know, they're like you. They're at lunch or at their desk, so they have to restrain themselves. You know.
Nice.
Yeah. So anyway, John, tell us what you've been. I mean, these questions, when I ask them, they sound alike to me, but they're actually different. What's top of mind for you these days? What are you focused on right now?
You know, right now I'm focused. I've always been, and I fight this battle every day. I'm focused on ensuring that my internship opportunities for students are paid. You know, there's still too many unpaid internships out there in the space. And so we're constantly on top of that. And I'm kind of softened my stance over the years, but not to say that an unpaid internship doesn't have value or it's wrong. I just think that if you're going to offer an internship and you can offer a paid internship, in my world, it means it's a different, it's a huge factor in my world.
Mm-hmm.
But I always just want the students to not feel like they're being exploited. That's the tricky thing. But there are good unpaid internships out there. There are organizations that, you know, the not-for-profits can't afford to pay, or they write it. I'm sorry, I'm thinking too fast and trying to speak.
Yeah, no, it's all right. I get it. Yeah.
I think that there's great organizations that can benefit from interns and the whole not-for-profit sector. I love, and I think we can do a lot more there. But top of mind is always, do we have paid internships for our students? Do we have internship opportunities for our students? Because if you have no experience, the internship opportunity is going to help build your resume, and then things start to fall into place. So that's like number one top of mind that I always
talk about. No, that makes sense. I mean, and of course, there's a whole lot of undercurrents, you know, all through our economy right now about equity and wage, you know, inequity, wage inequity, and all these kind of things. Low wage, you know, people talking about low wage workers, and you know that internship thing, kind of, you know, but that people who don't pay for internships are almost like, in many cases, they're taking a brand hit now. You know, especially if they're not for profits, I think are actually challenged by that pressure, because they kind of relied on that, to your point, as a source. They provided great experience, but they were able to boost their effectiveness of their organization at a relatively low cost. Whereas big companies can afford to pay and often don't want to. And so I think that's shaken out a bit, but it's still not settled, I guess, is your point.
It's still not settled, and so it's, you know, it's still not settled in my idea.
Is there a number, like, is there a reasonable number for an internship to pay these days? Do you have a
Well,
you
I mean,
guys
you know,
have
yeah, we have a
minimum wage,
practice,
right?
I mean, undergrads are anywhere between 10 and 15 an hour, and, you know, graduate internships are anywhere between 20 and 25. I mean, best practice wise.
Yeah, depending on what you're looking for and what you're asking them to do, right? So
yeah,
I did two internships, both unpaid. I would have killed, you know, back in the 70s when they didn't even have dinosaurs yet. I would have killed for a paid. I would have killed for a paid internship, you know. And there just weren't that many around. It wasn't the standard practice, but I think that's changed over time. But I think the other challenge too, you know, just coming at it from the other perspective, I think a hard thing for employers is to figure out is how to give a meaningful opportunity to an intern where they actually, you know, because I think so many of them think, well, I'll have them file papers for me for the summer and call it an internship. They get credit.
Yeah.
And that sucks, right? It doesn't, it's no good for the student, and it really doesn't benefit the organization. So finding that right match, I think, is a huge challenge as well for both sides.
I mean, you hit the nail right on the head there. And then the other piece too, to kind of share is, you know, I know we've been talking about wage equity in the space, and a lot of people have been talking about, you know, making sure that people are paid the right amount, you know, a fair amount for their work, especially in case of male versus female. I see that student level too, where, you know, one of the things that we're trying to do is promote and ensure that our female students, especially in certain areas like finance and areas that have been typically male dominated, that they are getting mentored and that they know that, you know, they can go. I hate having to say this, but that they have a legitimate seat at the table.
Mm-hmm.
That's an industry that's, you know, notoriously cutthroat and notorious. And it's funny because I was really brought up. This was really brought to my attention because of my student assistant, who made a comment to me one day in a meeting where she says, yeah, I'm in this class, but I have to fight to get my voice heard. And I was like, wait a minute, you use the word fight. And so for me, word choice is always very interesting. And that's when it opened my eyes to, wow, this is a bigger problem than we thought about.
Mm-hmm.
So Again, I'm bringing the show down. I'm sorry.
No, not at all. I know it's supposed to be HR gets lucky, but you know, sometimes you only get lucky when you find a solution to the problem, right? And I mean, yeah. And I think I'm sure that you have plenty of cool success stories with people that you've helped place too. Do you have you have one great story you want to share?
I do, and really, it was a team effort by. It was a team effort by several people at the university, but we were able to, I can't name the name of the institution,
sure.
But it was a big financial institution, very popular, everybody wants to work there, and we had an alumni come and hire one of our students as an intern. She was the first non-Ivy intern at this organization.
Mm-hmm.
She was the first non-Ivy Hispanic female intern at this organization, and she did such a great job that she became the first non-Ivy Hispanic hire. So we were beside ourselves with, you know, finally we were like yes, you know. And the student is she's an amazing student, and she was top of her class, and it was great, and we were just so happy to hear that and to see that. And now, because of the trailblazing that she's done, we have three students going up to intern this summer at that organization on Wall Street. In
terrific.
New York.
Wow, that's amazing.
So we're
amazing.
So you talk about, you know, HR gets lucky or college recruiting gets lucky. We're really proud of that one. And that was a whole team effort. That wasn't just, you know, John or this department or that department. It was a lot of people working together, collaborating, you know, meeting with the alumni and
yeah, and even though you can count it still just on the fingers of one hand, right? But those people are, as you said, are trailblazers, and you can use them to network and leverage and mentor and hopefully get more in and open more doors, and that's terrific. So we're down to like the last 2.5 minutes, John. What's up? I'm not ready to throw you off, but what's up next for you? What do you got going on coming up? You know, like you got any conferences, anything like that?
Yeah, I'll be at Sherm National. That'll be exciting. I put in a, I don't know if I should say this here, I put in a speaker application for HR Florida to talk about student value propositions and student branding. I don't know when those are coming out, so who knows, maybe we'll roll the dice and see if that happens.
Yeah, I don't know either. I put in to speak again this year, but I may be on, even though they like me over there. I canceled on them last year because of changing jobs and stuff, and so I resubmitted, but they may or may not invite me back. They had accepted me, but we'll see. I'm hopeful. I think I'm going to go to HR Florida this year regardless,
nice.
But that's always a great show. Go ahead.
Yeah,
sorry.
And then I'm thinking I've got to look at HR Tech is in the fall and a couple other things, and then I'll be at the MBA fairs. There's my fall is going to get crazy busy, but I'm excited. I'm excited. Good things are happening.
Yeah, the MBA fairs. I always see you. You know, you're up in New York and Chicago and all. You know, cool cities. Not like Miami. Not that little dive you live in down there on the water.
No.
Yeah.
No.
So we're down to a minute 10.
Yeah,
Chicago. I love Chicago, but you got to go in the summer, right? So a minute left. Where can people find you on the Twitters and whatnot?
So they can find me on the Twitters. They can find me at Sagar, S-P-H-R. I'm not changing it. I don't care. I don't know what I'm going to do. I've got too much invested there in that Twitter handle. So
okay.
They can find me there. You can find me at FIU, you know, FIU's College of Business. Our URL is really the talent.fiu.edu.
Okay.
And, you know, we're doing some pretty cool things and socializing a few more things out in the space, so that's exciting. And, I mean, I'm on LinkedIn. Connect with me on LinkedIn. The LinkedIn URL /JNicolai. And if they're game, find me on Facebook. I'll, you know. I've got a lot of bleed through.
Awesome. Well, listen, we're down to 10 seconds, and keep that SPHR thing going. I don't like that SPC thing anyway. So talk to you soon, John. Thanks for being on the show. Have a great weekend, everyone. See you later.
Absolutely my pleasure. Cheers.